Nick Drumendel, the Illegal Curve Hockey Show, live on TSN 1290. Can you take us through your decision to sign a long-term deal with the Jets in the face of sort of becoming a UFA at the end of this coming season?
Yeah, it was. I mean, for me, it was virtually a no-brainer. You know, I sat down with my agent, Matt Kidder, this spring. He came out in April or May, whatever. I can't remember which one. And we had that discussion. You know, he said, "What do you want to do? I have no problem being the guy to get you to UFA if that's where your heart is. If you don't want to be where you are, yada yada yada." So for me, it was no brainer. We sat there. I looked in the eyes. I said, "This is where I want to be. You know, I believe in what you know people like Mark Chipman and Chevy, what everyone stands for, and especially my teammates. You know, I think." I have believed, you know, since I got here, I've been, you know, I've told you guys that probably a million times that I believe that we have what it takes to get to the next level. So this is just a part of that process. I really truly believe that great things are in store for this group.
Blake, Ken Weeb from the Winnipeg Sun here. How did free agency compare this time to last time, given the possibility of arbitration component being part of this?
Well, I've been in that situation a couple times already, Ken. You know, coming out of college like I did, I've had arbitration rights, you know, since I've been in the league. So I went to arbitration once with Boston when I signed my last contract with Winnipeg. It was kind of the same process. So arbitration has kind of been a bit of the norm for me since I've been a pro. And having been through the process, it's not the best case scenario. You know, it's never fun to have to sit across the table from you know, the people that are in charge and you know, hear some things that, while it's all a business, you know, you still don't like to hear those things, you know, all the time. So, I'm thrilled to have avoided that process. I don't think it's really the end goal for anyone. You know, it's a huge right for the players in our CBA, and it's an important a right that we've retained in the CBA, but at the end of the day, I think this is the preferred method to get a deal done before you have to go to Toronto.
For sure. One other one, you know, when some guys get a hefty raise, they sometimes put a little more pressure on themselves to take their game to the next level. How does a guy like yourself avoid that and just continue the progression naturally?
I think I'm the opposite. I think I put more pressure on myself, you know, like in the last couple of years. You know, I've put a lot of pressure on myself, you know, because coming from Boston and being, you know, more of a third kind of fourth line bottom six forward player, you know, I'd always thought that I had more to give, and you know, I was given that opportunity in Winnipeg. So I think, you know, I think kind of my struggles in the beginning of Winnipeg were a bit of a reflection of pressing too much and trying too hard, putting too much pressure on myself. So now having that vote of confidence from a franchise, you know, I'm the kind of person that kind of takes that and runs with it. You know, having faith put in me, it just kind of gives me life and energy to go out there and you know, hopefully reach new heights, because I think there's more in store for sure.
Thank you.
Anytime.
Blake, it's Tal Pinchevsky from NHL.com. Wondering if in the last the week or two you could sort of describe the process. Was it acrimonious? Was it nasty? Was it friendly? Can you give us some inside look at what this was like for the last 2 weeks?
Yeah, I think the reason why we are where we are right now is because I think both sides wanted to get a deal done. So I think because of that, I think the nature of the talks were always cordial, and you know, I don't think there was ever any fire spitting back and forth. I think both sides wanted to get a deal done. So I think what it came down to was finding, you know, the right numbers that worked for both sides. I think at the end of the day, both sides had to, you know, had to come together and go, you know, go to a different spot to make a deal. And that's what it comes down to at the end of the day. You know, you have the things that you're preaching back and forth to each other, and the things that you believe are, you know, as, for me as a player, you know, where we had me being as a player, and for them as an organization, where they had me as a player, and I think those really lined up. So I think that's why we were able to make a deal, because at the end of the day, we saw me in the same light.
So So a tangent question then. You've done two contracts with the Jets and Kevin Cheveldayoff. Now, correct me if I'm wrong.
Nope, that's right.
And so what is Kevin Cheveldayoff like as you know, the negotiator on the other side of the table? Is he a hard-nosed, you know, nasty guy? Is he easy to deal with? Tell us a bit about that, if you can.
Well, I didn't really, you know, sit in personally on many of the discussions, so I can't speak to exactly what his nature was, you know, when they were negotiating. Everything that I heard from my agent was, like I said, you know, everything was very cordial. I think at the end of the day, the feeling that I got was that Chevy and Chipper and everyone, you know, really wanted me to be a Jet long term. And like I said before, I really wanted to be a Jet long term too. So, you know, speaking from my experience with Chevy, it's always been, you know, very, very even-headed and very, you know, very cordial. I think that, you know, we wanted to get a deal done. So, you know, if maybe they didn't want me to be a Jet long term, maybe he'd be a little more nasty. But I guess I can only really speak from my experience.
Thank you.
Anytime.
Hey Blake, it's Tal Pinchevsky from NHL.com. You've led the team in scoring since they moved to Winnipeg. Is there anything in particular for you that coming to Winnipeg maybe helped you in terms of finding your game and your role on this team?
Well, I think just the opportunity I was given. You know, I think you know, I came in there day one and was put on you know, the top line with Litz and Laddie, and you know, I think that was a huge vote of confidence right off the bat, and that added ice time, that added responsibility was something that I had really wanted, and so it just really gave me you know, a shot of life, and it was something that I definitely needed in my career. And from there, you know, I was able to gain a lot of confidence from that, and I think that's meant all the world is playing with two great players, and we really complement each other well. So I think that's helped me take my game to the next level, and also just, you know, that added responsibility, that added ice time gave me a lot of confidence in that, and you can't downplay, you know, how much confidence can help a hockey player.
Thanks a lot.
You bet.
Blake, you got some good news earlier this week. Can you talk about what it would mean to you to represent the United States in Sochi at the Olympics?
Well, it'd be a huge honor. You know, I'm honored already to be, you know, mentioned in this group and to you know, put myself in the mix to hopefully make that team. You know, obviously, you know, you guys are in Canada, so you kind of have the same problem we have as Americans. There's a wealth of talent and a wealth of great hockey players. So at the end of the day, it's going to be, you know, whatever you know, the people in charge deem to be the best guys to go over there and win a gold medal. But you know, I think that it's an opportunity that, you know, I think I can really help play on that big ice and utilize some of my attributes over there.
What do you remember about watching the game? Did you watch the game in 2010?
I sure did. Yeah, it was. I mean, some of the most exciting hockey I think any of us can probably remember watching, especially that gold medal game. You know, a few of my teammates in Boston had played over there, and they just said that it was an experience like no other, something that they'll never forget. And the hockey was just second to none. So to have that opportunity to go play over there would be a huge thrill.
One last one. What are your thoughts on the off-season additions of Devin Setoguchi and Michael Frolik?
Well, I think they're great additions. You know, I think you know, you have two guys that A, have proven that they can provide offense, and you know, Frolik just won a Stanley Cup, and you can never discount you know, adding a Stanley Cup champion to your team. That just is an instant boost right away, and I think they're two guys that are hungry to maybe get a little bit added, you know, minutes and responsibility with us. And I'm really excited about what they bring to the table, because I think they can really help take our team to that next level.
Thanks again.
Hi again, Blake. Drew Mandel from TSN 1290, the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. In the course of your negotiations, how much conversation have you had with Zach Bogosian and Brian Little, as, you know, all three of you were, you know, negotiating new contracts with the Jets?
Yeah, we kept in touch for sure. You know, I've kept in touch with a lot of my teammates. You know, they're curious as to what was going on and you know, where things sat. So yeah, definitely talked to Bogo and talked to Litz. So we were all kind of in the same boat wanting to make Winnipeg a long-term home. And now that Litz and I have accomplished that, hopefully Bogo is soon to follow.